you've got a great signal coming in here to Ohio tonight, over.
Oh, excellent. In positive 059 in Williamsburg. Can I get your call sign so I can log you?
Yes, sir. It's Kilo Alpha 8 and the word joy. Juliet Oscar Yankee.
KO4FE.
Robert from Gloucester, Ohio.
I am Robert from Richfield, Ohio.
Okay, copy that. Once again, Kilo Alpha 8, Juliet Alpha Yankee, is that correct?
No, the word joy, Juliet Oscar Yankee.
I think I got it. Kilo Alpha 8, Juliet Alpha Yankee. But your name's Robert, and you're from Gloucester, Ohio?
Nope, you're missing the last part of it. Spell the word joy, like joy to the world.
So, Kilo Alpha 8, Juliet Alpha Juliet?
Juliet Oscar Yankee, the word joy.
Copy that. Hold on a second. Okay, I think I got you now. You're in Richfield.
Roger, Dodger, you got it.
Sorry, man. I have a slight hearing deficiency, which sort of makes me a bad fit sometimes for ham radio, but eventually if the people are patient with me, I get it. But you're, by the way, very 5'9 here in Williamsburg, Virginia. So I don't know if you use ERZ or Logbook of the World, but if you do, I definitely appreciate the log. But if not, no worries. I'm going to stick around. Please tell me about the LibertyNet.
All righty, I've got you checked in as the third participant. Is this your first time, over?
First time in LibertyNet, yeah.
Basically, it's a roundtable communications about current events, and it often leads to politics. I won't deny that, but we go through a net. I'm using NetLogger to keep track of things, and each person takes, you know, if you don't have something to add to the topic, that's fine. If you have something to comment on, that's fine. There's no real ground rules, just a get-together every Saturday night since 1974. Over.
Copy that. And LibertyNet, by the very definition of the name, sounds like my cup of tea. All right, I'm going to monitor and let you get further check-ins, but I'll be here. Got to attend to nature, but I'll be back and listen, and I'll chime in when warranted. I'll be here. KM4HOC to Kilo Alpha 8, Juliet Oscar Yankee.
All righty, Jonathan, thank you for checking in. KM4HOC, KHOI. So I'm going to start off here. This is KHOI looking for check-ins for the Saturday night LibertyNet. I don't have my phone next to me, but I think it is the 28th of November. That means November is almost coming to a close. So CQ, CQ.
KO4FE.
Good evening, Bill. How are you tonight?
Doing pretty good, Bob. Today was a nice day, but I hear we got bad weather coming, so... I guess the pleasant fall weather's about ready to come to an end. We got to get ready for winter. I got my snow blower ready, although I haven't used it for probably 4 years, but it's ready to go. So anyway, I'm here. I'm ready. I never have a never-ending list of news stories, so I'll let you get back to taking more check-ins. KA8JOY LibertyNet KO4FE.
Roger, Roger, Bill. KO4FE, KHOI. Yeah, I don't have a snowblower. I use a front-end loader because my driveway is 800 feet long. But I have not used the front-end loader on the driveway for 2 years. And again, I'm in the secondary snow belt, but the snow's not been that bad that the four-wheel drive didn't get through it, and then within days, if not a week, it was gone. So we'll see. I've been watching the weather reports. It looks like it's going to churn some serious weather coming our way in northeastern Ohio and over towards the eastern states.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, I got to have a snowblower. My driveway's not very long, but it kind of goes uphill, and if you get more than a few inches of snow, I got to get the snowblower out or else I won't be able to get out of the... Well, I can get out of the driveway, but when the snowplow goes down the road, they throw all the snow to my side, so you have to bust through a big pile of snow at the end of the driveway. And if the driveway was level, that wouldn't be a problem, but since I'm already going uphill, it kind of, it sometimes you get hung up in there. So I like to keep the snowblower ready to go before winter. So anyway, back to you, KAAJOYKO4FE.
All righty, Bill, I've got you on the list as number four. So CQ, this is KAAJOY, looking for check-ins for the Real Liberty Net on this Saturday night, the last Saturday of November. Over.
Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango.
Okay, I got you, Mr. Ritchie, KB2DMD, and the other station again, please.
This is Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango.
KE0VRT, alrighty, thank you.
And 4ILQ.
Alrighty, Mr. Larry, let me type all this stuff in. I'll be back with you guys in a moment. So far, we have a very nice list. So, CQ, this is KAAJOY, looking for additional check-ins for the Saturday Night Real Liberty Net before I kick it off. Nothing heard, so let me do the opening. So good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest-running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now and since the year of 1974, founded by the one, the only, W1WCR. This is the Arium Net, not the Pyrite Net. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the Real Liberty Net. With that being said, I'm going to use the national anthem as my opening. As we've heard before, the original form read, I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation indivisible with liberty, justice for all. In 1923, the words the flag of the United States of America were added. In 1954, in response to the communist threat of the times, President and then retired General Eisenhower encouraged Congress to add the words under God, creating the 31-word pledge we use today. Hopefully, if some other character gets in the office, he won't remove that word. But today it reads, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That being said, let me ask for one more round of check-ins before I kick it off. This is KAAJOY.
Amen.
Nothing heard. I'm going to open the door. Mr. Moe out there in the beautiful state of Nebraska. He was my first check-in. KD0RSA. Mr. Moe, you have the floor.
KD0RSA. Thank you, Bob, JOY. I do appreciate it. I don't have a whole lot to say, except I did go down to the gun shop a couple of days ago, and the manager of the shop, the owner of the shop, told me in our little village, whatever you want to call it, the police have went into his gun shop, and they are buying their own weapons. Thinking that down the road that Biden or the government will will call their issued weapons in, so they wouldn't have any, so they're buying their own. And a lot of other people are buying also. So KG0RSA, that's all I got. I'll be sitting here listening for the rest of the night. So I'll just turn it back to you, Bob. KGAOY, back KD0RSA, over.
Thank you, Mo, and that is truly a fear if this regime gets into power. Though I heard something today on talk radio which I have to think was unique. President Trump has gone to a couple different courts and they've denied him, but only losers get to the United States Supreme Court. So each denial gets him closer to the United States Supreme Court to look at all this fraud and improprieties that have happened in this election. So, and yes, people are buying firearms and preparing themselves. I also heard another gentleman talking about some of the well-organized militias that are in our country. Are a lot of them are supported and manned by ex-military, so that there is a definite organization. It's not a bunch of ragtags. So I hope that does not come to that. But the Second Amendment says for a tyrannous government, so we have to kind of concern ourselves with that. With that being said, I'm going to go over to Mr. Greg, K1YW. This is KAHAOY.
Newly arrested persons who are compelled for interrogation. flight or last flight on a service cargo flight. But since the pattern of Korean military air traffic is largely focused on the East Coast, D.C., Inno, Florida, Virginia, etc., reveals that many military refueling planes with transponders are being spotted on the flight tracking app, indicating a very large presence of military fighter jets and monitors which require fuel refueling. And there's a he anticipates a large military event may be drawing near, such as large numbers of military cargo planes are moving around the country, apparently supplying military forces for action readiness. And he also mentioned that before Jeffrey Epstein was killed or whatever happened to him, there was a flurry of these rendition flights actively involving people that Epstein was named. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting, but we don't know whether these are the good guys or the bad guys being interrogated or rendition. So, I guess it's still speculation at this point, but it's interesting to ponder this information that we're getting. Anyway, back over to you, Bob, with our K1YW.
Thank you, sir. K1YW, K-A-J-O-Y. Next on my list is going to be Jonathan, Kilo, Mike, 4, Hotel, Oscar, Charlie. You have the podium, sir.
Hey, good evening, everyone, but please don't tell me I have the podium. That puts way too much pressure on me. But from what I've heard so far, it looks like I'm in the right place. As far as with the previous station, I didn't get this call sign, but yeah, that's fascinating information. But I think the most important thing he said was, are these the good guys or the bad guys? You know, getting renditioned or, you know, what's going on there? I worry about this country, and like more so than I ever have. I mean, ever since I got into politics as a kid, you know, I've sort of worried about the country. But this is crazy. I mean, it doesn't make sense. In the following sense, like anybody with half a brain who's been watching, you know, what's been going on, knows that there was basically a systematic campaign that included media, the deep state, social media, big tech giants, 93% of the time against Trump. It doesn't matter whether you like Trump or not. That should worry you. The fact of the matter is, and then you have election fraud. Like, I'm personally a Republican voting. I'm kind of libertarian, but I'm basically at this point a Republican. But I'm mainly libertarian. But, just thinking, like, I don't care if you're a socialist, Democrat, liberal, Republican, Martian. You should be really worried about your country, and you should not be okay with what's going on if you're watching, if you really look into what's going on. There's voter fraud abound. We live in crazy times, not just interesting times, which is the old Chinese curse, but crazy times. And so, I don't know what to do about it other than pray, maybe throwing a buck or five here there on a campaign, or something like that. But, I'm stocked as hell in terms of the 2A. I've got my weapons, but I don't know if I would ever come to a point where I felt the moral compulsion to actually go into action. I think it would really the excrement would have to hit the fan at some point for that to happen. I'm pretty much not there yet. But back to you, and hope my use of the podium is okay. Back to you. KM4HOC, back to LibertyNet.
Your use of the podium was fine, KM4HOC. I know that it's a difficult thought to say that we would take up arms. I'm in law enforcement, so I've gone to training of it. I've been fortunate to never actually have to have taken another human's life, but I know that I can, and when they come knocking at your door and try to bind you like is looking as where we're going, it might be something that would come to that. It's kind of scary. I like how the president-elect is calling for for healing. It's time to heal and come together. I don't know why there was no healing and coming together for the last 4 years under our President Donald Trump, but now they think that we're going to heal and come together. Bull squat. But Jonathan, you did fine. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to move on to Mr. Bill, KO4FD. I'm looking out my window, and there is a helicopter almost hovering. It must be a medical helicopter because it looks like they're looking for landing spots. Kind of eerie. KO4FD, KDOI, it's up to you.
The Republicans say now it's finally time to heal. But now, even though Biden is apparently, quote unquote, the president-elect, which is not true, by the way, he's not the president-elect. He only gets president-elect when he's finally the Electoral College comes together and, you know, determines that he's a president-elect. But, you know, even now, all the powers that be on the elect are still trying to divide the nation. That's all they're good at. And it's a good strategy, I guess, if, you know, you work for evil, you know, divide and conquer. That's how it works.
And that's what they're going to try to do. Okay, Mr. Bill, it is up to you. KO4FE, KAJOY.
Okay, KAJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE. Okay, Bob, well, conditions aren't as good as they were last weekend, but they're not bad. You know, this Chris Crispy. Yeah, he looks like he spends a lot of time at Krispy Kreme. Maybe that's why I keep always get his name twisted around. But anyway, Christie is you know, out there bashing Trump's legal team, and you know, it doesn't matter what he really thinks of it. If he had any brains and wasn't such an attention whore, he would just keep his mouth shut. I guess this is the only way he can get on ABC, NBC, or any of the other news stations, as long as he's bashing Trump. Anyway, it says former Governor Chris Christie, Republican of New Jersey, said Sunday on ABC's This Week that President Trump legal team has been a, quote, national embarrassment, unquote. And anchor George Stephanopoulos, I'm sure he was just smiling when Christie was saying this, said last night we saw Pat Toomey, senator for Pennsylvania, say it's time for the president to enable this transition. Well, Pat Toomey's about as worthless as tits on a boar hog. He's always you know, trying to straddle the middle and keep the Democrats liking him. But anyway, I'm not going to read the rest of the article, but you got these guys like Christie and Toomey and Mitt Romney and all these guys. And I guess they're just starving for attention. You never see this on the Democrat side. Well, never say never, but it's rare if you do see it. You know, the Democrats have good message discipline, and they always stay on point, and it doesn't matter how outlandish one of them makes a comment that's outlandish. They don't say anything. They never criticize anything that the other Democrats do. But these Republicans seem to just love to get on there as long as they can get their face on TV. I guess they think they're accomplishing something. But all this does is it tells me that Trump was right in not allowing Chris Christie anywhere near the White House. And here's another example. Biden considering Cindy McCain for UK ambassador role. Joe Biden is eyeing Cindy McCain as a potential U.S. ambassador to the United Kingdom, according to multiple sources. It's hers if she wants it, a source told the Times of London about McCain, the widow of the late Senator John McCain. She delivered Arizona. They know that. Yeah, old Cindy McCain delivered Arizona to the Democrats. What a wonderful epitaph to be put on her tombstone when she passes away. Biden was the first Democrat to win Arizona since 1996. McCain, a vocal critic of President Donald Trump, is a known Anglophile. She and former Senator Jeff Flake, what an appropriate last name for that guy, are both being credited for endorsements that helped Biden win in their state. So you had Jeff Flake and Cindy McCain working together to make sure the Democrats got Arizona. Both have been floated for posts in the Biden administration, reports The Hill, with McCain being considered for the top ambassador role or another diplomatic post. She currently serves on Biden's transition team on the advisory board. She has never held public office, but is said to have had a front row seat to international diplomacy while traveling with her husband, a frequent target of barbs from Trump. McCain told ABC's The View, which her daughter Megan, another anti-Trumper, she said that the Biden administration will be all-inclusive and there is a role for Republicans. Yeah, rhinos and Republicucks. Biden also signaled that he could reach across the aisle and name Republicans to key posts in his administration, including in his cabinet. Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of never-Trumpers. But you know what this goes to show is Cindy McCain, the whole McCain family, John McCain, they were never really conservatives. They were just opportunists who used the label conservative to rope in GOP votes when it comes down to it. No real conservative would have anything to do with Joe Biden or anything that he represents. But Cindy McCain, I'm sure her daughter would be glad to serve in a Biden administration. I mean, this girl, I don't want to get into what I think about her. I think if she wouldn't have been John McCain's daughter, she'd probably be sitting in a trailer park somewhere. But anyway, so you got the Joe Biden paying off the Trump-hating rhinos. So anyway, back to you, Bob. K-A-8-J-O-Y, Liberty Net, K-O-4-F-E.
Yeah, they are a group of rhinos. That is a true statement, especially the McCains. And they've definitely been never-Trumpers. I've got someone just sent me this. It's kind of cool. It's by a Monica Wisniewska. She's a Polish author. She says about the coronavirus vaccine, quote, "The vaccine should be tested on politicians first. If they survive, the vaccine is safe. If they don't survive, then the country is safe," unquote. I like that one, Bill.
Oh, yeah, I got to cut in. That's hilarious. KM4HRC going.
You're checking out?
No. I'm sorry. I was out of order. I just think that's perfectly right and hilarious. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, I agree. That we should have them try it first. Line them up. All righty, I'm going to move to spot number 5, which is Whiskey Delta 8. Alpha Yankee Charlie, he's in Ohio with me, so I might not be able to hear you, but hopefully you can be heard by others. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, Bob. WD8AYC. Well, good evening and hi to everybody else on the net that can hear me. I'm just barefoot, so I know I don't get as far as a lot of people anyway. I have trouble with my words anymore. I really can't talk a long time because I can't find the words. But I will say this, and this is the thing that is the most heavy on my heart, and this is the thing that I believe in the most. If early on in the last 4 years, if we would have a Republican in the FCC, if we would have had a Republican in the Federal Communications Office, we wouldn't be going through this now, because they never would have let all this crap go. I know. I mean, I got my ham license, so do you guys. Didn't I read some of the FCC. Didn't they used to have where you couldn't gang up on they weren't allowed to gang up on one particular side, you know, the Democrats or Republicans. I'm sure it wasn't allowed. It was against the law to do what they're doing. And so if we only could have had a good person in the FCC, we wouldn't even be going through and all this stuff. That's what it just makes me sick. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm glad to. I've been missing a lot of these because I fall asleep. But anyway, that's all I got. WDAYC.
All righty, Richard. Thank you. We appreciate that. We'll be back to you in round number two. WD8AYC KHOI. Next is Mr. Richie. KB2DMD, you had a strong signal when you checked in. Over.
Oh, good, Bob. Glad to hear it. Well, let me click over to Watts here so I can make sure nothing goes wrong. KAHAOY and the Liberty Net. This is KB2DMD. Very good. You're sounding really, really big time here yourself. Everybody is. Good signal, except Greg. So I expect that'll change as the evening progresses. And he made an excellent transmission from what I could tell. I'd like to hear more about that, these operations that are centered around the East Coast. Yeah, things are getting interesting. And good transmission from Bill on these rhinos, and that's something that people need to remember. Just because you vote Republican doesn't mean anything. We as Bill pointed out, we've got Pat Toomey, that disgraceful piece of garbage. We've been saddled with him for a long time. I guess he's figured he's done all the damage he could do, so he's going to retire. And then here locally, Brian Fitzpatrick, he's another scumbag. And too many Trump signs out with a Brian Fitzpatrick sign next to him. His campaign slogan, One Community, because he's a communist, of course. And it's funny, really, if you want to make things easy, go to gunowners.org, the Gun Owners of America website, and find their ratings for these candidates before you vote for them. Very often, NRA will give some of these candidates, you know, a B or a C rating, where Gun Owners of America will give them a D or an F. Always go with the GOA rating, Bob, because let's face it, you know, NRA has been selling out the Second Amendment since the 1930s, unfortunately. Do the research. So, lest anybody think I'm a twoer, you know, like Irwin used to call, you know, Second Amendment firster. In many ways I am, and you know what, it's not just because I enjoy firearms, it's because that's, you know, without firearms, without the militia concept, without the citizen control of coercive force, Bob, what use are the other nine amendments? What use is the rest of the Bill of Rights unless you have something, like I've often told people, after they take your guns, you think you pay high taxes now? it really is the bottom line. And we're left a few piddly rifles instead of what we ought to have as far as militia gear, but better than nothing, better than air guns and crossbows and long darts, which would soon follow, and many states have banned long darts, so... you can't have long darts, babe, you know, a lot of states. So, yeah, you know, voting Republican is never the answer. You really have to look at the candidate. And here, I'm sure it was costly, but I just could not bring myself to vote for some of these rhinos. I pulled the trigger on a libertarian, you know. You're throwing your vote away. You gave your vote to the Dems. You know what? I just couldn't live with myself. Throwing the lever... for one of these known rhinos. It's awful. As far as what's coming, Bob, you know, we can only wait and see. Look, they don't have a SWAT team to go through every door. Not that they wouldn't. I mean, let's face it, LE and military will go through doors. Make no mistake about it. You don't expect to see droves of them coming to the other side and bringing the armory with them to join the ranks of real Americans. Not happening. We don't offer a dental plan. So, but the thing is, not enough to go through every door. So when they're going through your neighbor's door, and, you know, CNN won't tell you about it, neither will Fox. But that kind of news travels on the wind. And when you hear of it, you'll know what to do. If you're unsure what to do, the movie April Morning with Tommy Lee Jones, Rip Torn, and Robert Urich is outstanding. If you can find it, if it's not been suppressed, probably the crowning achievement for all three of those actors, but really shows people that were faced with a choice and that were very, very benign and peaceful people. But, you know, one April morning, we're faced with a choice, and they chose honor in the end. And it was, you know, terribly costly. But if it wasn't for their sacrifice, we would never have known any liberty. Sadly, it's probably coming close to that again. I pray not. But anyway, good training film, April Morning. People wonder what it'll be like. Well, history repeats itself. What's it say on the National Archives, Bob? What's past is prologue. Always has been. So good advice there, watching April Morning. If you've not done so, check it out. I understand, you know, because of the internet, you can watch just about any movie you want for free. So, and that's a real, real timely one. But, you know, again, I just can't stress enough, don't trust Republicans. I guess we're all looking to the Supreme Court now. That's the next step. So that means we're looking toward these deep state appointees that Trump was coerced into putting onto the Supreme Court. Let's hope they do him a solid, huh? Because, you know, let's face it, I mean, Trump won in a landslide. The news is telling you, get ready for change. Pat Toomey is saying, concede. And, you know, they just, the two most prominent points when I tune in an enemy transmission, Bob, are COVID, and concede, president-elect. It's all nonsense. Anybody with two eyes in their head can see Trump won in a landslide. The guy's a rock star, the most popular president in U.S. history, and we're supposed to believe that some retard, that they can't string three words together in a sentence, took all his votes. It's not happening. But, I mean, they're really trying to beat it into people's heads, and they've had some success doing that, at least among the people that just can't seem to turn off their TV sets. So, I don't know. I really don't know which way it's going to go. But like as the fellow said earlier, we can pray on it. And that's the most important thing. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. KAHJOY and the Liberty Net. This is KB2DMD.
Well, I have never seen that movie, April Morning, so I'm going to look that up. That sounds like a good something to watch. So thank you. KB2DMD, KHOI. Next on my list, Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango. It is your turn, sir.
Good evening, Bob. This is KE0VRT out of Joplin, Missouri. The article I'm reading tonight is called The Smartest Man in the Room Has Joined Sidney Powell's Team from American Thinkers. In her Georgia complaint, Sidney Powell included the declaration of Naveed Kashavars, an expert witness who stated under oath that there was massive computer fraud in the 2020 election, all of it intended to secure a victory for Joe Biden. Dr. Kashavars' name may not mean a lot to you, but it's one of the weightiest names in the world when it comes to sniffing out cybersecurity problems, and probably one of the toughest ones to pronounce as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, I'll continue on. We know how important Dr. Kashavars, you know what I mean, the doctor, because just 2.5 months ago, the New York Times ran one of its Sunday long-form articles about massive multi-million-dollar fraud that talented grifter ran against American intelligence and military communities. Dr. Kashavars is one of the few people who comes off looking good. Naveed Kashavars, those who worked with him, he said, those who worked with him said was always the smartest person in the room in doing cybersecurity and technical counterintelligence for the CIA, NSA, and FBI. He had spent decades connecting top secret dots. After several months of working with Mr. Courtney, he began connecting those dots too. He did not like where they led. Not only does the doctor have an innate intelligence, he's also got extraordinary academic and practical skills in cyber fraud detection and analysis. The reason we know about his qualifications is that it takes 7 paragraphs for him to list them in the declaration he signed to support the Georgia complaint. His qualifications include a BA, MA, and PhD in various areas of electrical and computer engineering. In addition, he has advanced training from the Defense Intelligence Agency, Central Intelligence Agency, National Security Agency, DHS Office of Intelligence and Analysis, and Massachusetts Institution of Technology. Professionally, the doctor has spent his career as a cybersecurity engineer. His experience spans 35 years performing technical assessment, mathematical modeling, cyber attack pattern analysis, and security intelligence. So what does the doctor have to say about it? He says that Hammer and Scorecard is real. It's not a hoax, as the Democrats allege, and both are used to manipulate election outcomes. Dominion, ES&S, Skittle, and Smartmatic are all vulnerable to fraud and vote manipulation, and the mainstream media reported on these vulnerabilities in the past. Dominion has been used in other countries to forge election results. Dominion's corporate structure is deliberately confused to hide relationships with Venezuela, China, and Cuba. Dominion machines are easily hackable. Dominion memory cards with a cryptographic key access to the systems were stolen in 2019. Although he had no access to the machines, the doctor has looked at available data about the election and the vote results. Based on that information, he concluded that the counts of the disputed states show electronic manipulation. The simultaneous decision in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia to pretend to halt counting votes was unprecedented and demonstrated a coordinated effort to collude toward the desired result. 1-2% of votes were forged in Biden's favor. Optical scanners were set up to accept unverified, unvalidated ballots. The scanners failed to keep records for audits, an outcome that must have been deliberately programmed. The stolen cryptographic key, which applied to all voting systems, is used to alter vote counts. The favorable votes pouring in after hours for Biden could not be accounted for by a Democratic preference for mailed-in ballots. They demonstrate manipulation. For example, in Pennsylvania, it was physically impossible to feed 400,000 ballots into the machine within 2 or 3 hours. Dominion also used Chinese parts, and there's a reason to believe that China, Venezuela, and Cuba interfered in the election. There was a Hammer and Scorecard cyber attack that altered votes in the battleground states and then forwarded the results to Skittle servers in Frankfurt, Germany to avoid detection. The systems failed to produce any auditable results. And based on the findings, the doctor concluded with high confidence that the election 2020 data were altered in all battleground states, resulting in hundreds of thousands of votes that were cast for President Trump to be transferred to President Biden. This is going to be tough evidence for Democrats to counter. Back when the naive Democrats thought Trump would be the one to commit fraud, they held congressional hearings and wrote articles about the voting machine's vulnerability. And with the New York Times touting the doctor's brilliance and his ability to sniff out fraud, they'll struggle so that he's not a reliable expert. Things are starting to get fun, folks. This is KE0VRT, Joplin, Missouri. Back to you, Bob, KAJOY.
Well, that's a good way to wrap it up. Things are going to get fun. That's a good statement. KE0VRT, you got a booming signal here into Akron, so thank you. I have to throw this out. Someone said this today on talk radio. They were talking about Benjamin Franklin and the Constitutional Convention in 1787. So I found it online. But none of the founders had the day Benjamin Franklin had. As the story was told and retold on the House floor, Franklin was walking out of Independence Hall after the Constitutional Convention in 1787, when someone shouted, quote, "Doctor, have we got, what have we got, question mark, a republic or a monarchy?" To which Franklin supposedly responded in a resounding, at once witty sense that he had, quote, "A republic, if you can keep it," unquote.
That's right.
Interesting statement. All righty, Mr. Larry, it's up to you. N4ROQKAHJOY.
Kilo Mike 4, Hotel Oscar Charlie. I just want to cut in and say I gotta. I'm getting sleepy. I'm gonna cut out for tonight. I'm probably gonna scan a little bit more and troll for maybe a couple more contacts in the next 10 minutes. But I gotta go to bed. But I just want you guys to know I really enjoyed this. This net. Do you meet this time? He said Saturday. 3.995. Is this your normal schedule?
Yes, sir. KM4HOC. Every Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern and Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Copy that. I don't want to be lazy. What's your call sign?
Kilo Alpha 8, Juliet Oscar Yankee.
Great, hold on a second. All right, copy that. Robert in Ohio. I'm going to send you an email, and if you don't mind, just send me a reminder about the Annette, because I really enjoyed what everyone said, especially the guy, I forget his name, but he was like the two stations behind talking. He had a very long monologue, which is fine, by the way, but yeah, there's a lot of gave me a lot of things to think about, and I always love that. So anyways, I'll send you an email, and sorry to interrupt the net, but anyway, I'm clear for the net for now, and 73 is to all you, and God bless everyone here. This is KM4HOC to Kilo Alpha 8, Juliet Oscar Yankee. I'm clear, 73.
All righty, Jonathan, I'll show you checked out. 73's, good evening, God bless, KM4HOC, KHOY.
Larry, it's me. Go ahead, Buck.
Yep, I heard the double click. It's your turn, Mr. Larry.
Okay. This is from USA Today. Ex-head of Iran nuclear weapons program is killed. Tehran claims Israel was behind the attack. This comes out of USA Today. An Iranian scientist whom Israel has credited with masterminding the Islamic Republic's covert military nuclear program until it was disbanded 2 decades ago, was assassinated outside Tehran on Friday. Iran's top diplomat confirmed terrorists murdered an eminent Iranian scientist today. Iran's foreign minister, Javad Zarif, said in a tweet. Zarif said Israel was likely to blame but did not provide evidence. Mohsen Fazlani's killing came as Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has publicly advocated that President-elect Joe Biden should refrain from rejoining the nuclear deal reached between Iran and world powers. President Donald Trump withdrew the U.S. from the accord. Initially, there was conflicting reports over whether this gentleman's name is Fakhar Zeghaghan. So that's not right, but that's a try at it. Survived the assault. It took place as the car he was traveling in east of Iran's capital came under machine gun fire. According to state TV and Iran's semi-official Fars news agency, witnesses also heard the sound of an explosion. A wounded I'll just call him an Iran nuclear scientist was taken to a local hospital along with several of his bodyguards. The agency said there were no immediate claims of responsibility. State TV said more information would be provided later. A statement by Iran's armed forces said this gentleman that was shot died from his injuries while in the hospital. The Israeli government declined to immediately comment on the reports. Israeli diplomats often referred to as Iran's father of the bomb. So this guy must have been a really high up in the nuclear agency. During a news conference, Netanyahu once said this nuclear scientist, he said, "Remember that name. Israel has been suspected of carrying out targeted killings of Iranian nuclear scientists nearly a decade ago to halt its suspected military nuclear program. The nuclear pact Trump abandoned was negotiated under Barack Obama in 2015, and some Iran experts, further diplomats, and even senior Iranian officials speculated that this particular nuclear scientist killing could be part of a concerted attempt to sabotage any fresh diplomacy between Iran and the incoming Biden administration. It is not unlikely that this targeted killing was part of the efforts to prevent the Biden administration, which I hope they don't get in there. I hope everything goes good for Trump still, from reviving diplomacy with flag of Iran and going back to the nuclear agreement," said Carl Bildt, a Sweden former prime minister, on Twitter. Hossein Dagan, a senior military advisor to Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, also took to Twitter to offer a theory. In the last days of the political life of their ally, Trump, Israel seeks to intensify pressure on Iran and create a full-blown war, he said. There is no indication the White House knew beforehand of the assassination plot. Request for comment from the U.S. National Security Council, U.S. State Department, and the U.S. Department of Defense was declined. Shows a picture of the car this gentleman was driving here in the small city east of Tehran, Iran. So, you know, if you want to stop this nuclear weapons program, they've got a good way to do it. Would be to wipe out their scientists, so they wouldn't know. Wipe out the brains of the program, in other words. All right, we'll stop it right there. Several in there. Thanks, Bob. I hope you're hearing me okay. I know the band's a little bit noisy, but I'm hearing everyone so far. Have a good night. Thanks for running the net. K-8-J-O-Y in Florida, Key.
You're sounding great up here in Akron, Ohio. I have you at 30 over 9, so you're doing a good trip there, Larry. So let me see if there's any late check-ins before we jump into round number 2. So CQ, looking for additional check-ins for the Great Liberty Net. Over.
Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-ray, Charlie.
Mr. Jesse, better late than never. Good to hear you, sir. And I must apologize. I was out in the garage working my little behind off on a truck, and I realized on Wednesday at about midnight that it was Wednesday, so I missed your net.
Hey, no problem. We all have our downsides to us, so no big deal. Anyway, I'm here, Bob, and thanks for running that net.
Alrighty, sir. Well, I have an article to read, but I'll let you do your thing first before I get to my article. Over.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you, Mr. Bob, and great crew out here tonight. A lot of check-ins and a lot of great comments, and everybody sounding really choice. Even Greg was sounding good to me. I guess it's just all propagation for the most part. Well, anyway, let me start the night out with making this one article known to everybody. I would like everybody to be aware of this one article off of Big League Politics. It's on different websites, so it's been validated multiple times. And it's Military Industrial Complex. James Mattis bashes America first as he takes money from pro-China lobbyists. This article has been on many different websites. It's way too long to even start into to read, but it's something that everybody should read it. It is a definite must. And let's see. So if anybody has any question about that, that's Big League Politics, and it's .com. And if you misspell it in any way, they will divert you from this website. Let's see, there's something else I wanted to find out. How's my signal holding up again? Sorry about that, Bob. How's my signal holding up? Something don't seem right here.
20 over down here. You're doing okay. A little over 20 over there. Go ahead, dude.
We're really strong up here at people
above us. Okay, well, good deal. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I just, SWR looked a little funny here. All right, well, just make sure everything was in proximity of where it needs to be. All right, well, anyway, this other article I got tonight is off of Gateway Pundit, and it is the article I chose to start us out. Well, we know Michael Flynn got pardoned by our president, Donald J. Trump, which thank God he does, has done that. He should also pardon Snowden and, you know, the other guy, Assad, I believe. He also needs to pardon. But anyway, this article goes into this. I am KG4ZXC, Jesse out of Pennsylvania here, just for the record, guys. And this article is, we have clear path to winning for this president. General Michael Flynn comes out swinging for Trump in first post-pardon interview. The story goes into the President Trump announced on Twitter Wednesday afternoon to pardon his former National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, U.S. Army retired, Trump wrote. And it is my great honor to announce that General Michael T. Flynn has been granted a full pardon. Congratulations to Michael Flynn and his wonderful family. I know you will now have a truly fantastic Thanksgiving. So he's been on top of this situation for some time after Michael Flynn has been prosecuted by these irate judges and would not release him from the charges that was presented upon him. Anyway, General Flynn tweeted out a biblical quote in his hearing. After hearing the news, General Michael Flynn held his first interview with WTV on Saturday, and General McNairly and conservative activist Mary Fanny is his first interview. General Flynn took up most of the interview, shedding light on the Trump election strategy in combating the massive abuse of voter fraud in the 2020 election. We have a clear path, he says, winning the president. If we don't correct what is happening right now over the next couple of weeks, then I hate to really think what will happen to our country going forward into the later part of December and into the next month. I do believe for a second that the country will accept I don't think the country will accept President Biden as the next president. And you know what? He's absolutely correct, because I am not going to accept this guy as a president whatsoever. He's a fraud. Everybody knows it. And everybody needs to understand that it is a national, global coup against this president. All this information and all this conspiracy and everything is not just made up. It is a factual incident here, so everybody needs to be aware that this is no drill. And I think everybody needs to consider the worst possibility and hope for the best. With that being said, we have the best judicial system that money can buy. So just remember that, guys. All these judges and all these politicians have been bought off for some time, and they're all covering each other's CYA. So something to think about. With that being said, this is the Saturday Night Liberty Net. I'm KG4ZXNC, Jesse, here out of the great state of Pennsylvania. And thanks, Mr. Bob. Back to you.
All righty, Jesse, KG4ZXC, KHOY. Well, my article says, and I quote, Pennsylvania Senator, mounting evidence shows election was compromised. This is from the Epoch Times. I subscribe to this newspaper. It's pretty good. A growing body of evidence shows the presidential election in Pennsylvania was compromised, a state senator said Saturday. This is a mounting evidence that the PA presidential election was compromised. If this is the case, under Article 2, Section 1.2 of the U.S. Constitution, the state legislature has the sole authority to direct the manner of selecting delegates to the Electoral College, State Senator Doug Matrino, a Republican, said on Twitter. This power was given to the state legislature for the purpose of safeguarding the appointment of our president, specifically contemplating corruption and ensuring that the people are not disenfranchised to a corrupt election process, he added. Therefore, we are introducing a resolution to exercise our obligation authority to appoint delegates to the Electoral College that Mastrino and other state lawmakers announced Friday. They will soon introduce a resolution to dispute the results of the election, alleging that, quote, documental irregularities and improprieties associated with mail-in balloting, pre-canvassing, and canvassing have undermined our electoral process, and as a result, we cannot accept certify the results in the statewide races. The resolutions call on the Presidential House of Representatives to recognize the alleged irregularities and improprieties and disapprove what lawmakers describe as a infringement on the General Assembly's authority to regulate elections. Pennsylvania Secretary of State Kathy Bochmar extended the mail-in ballot deadline without permission from the legislature. The U.S. Supreme Court earlier this month ordered Pennsylvania election officials to separate ballots that arrived after the previous secured deadline, which was unable to be done. Pennsylvania lawmakers also said in the resolution they disapproved and disagreed with the certification of election results, calling it premature, and what Bochmar and Governor Tom Wolf, a Democrat, to withdraw or vacate the certification. And they called on the U.S. Congress to declare the selection of the presidential electors in the Commonwealth to be in dispute. I won't read the whole article, but you pretty much see that Pennsylvania, being a pivotal state, is a big question mark right now. So with that being said, let me check for any more late check-ins before I go to the top of the list. This is KHAY for the Great Liberty Net. I heard a call out there, but I couldn't pull it out.
Get a KOQ.
I hear the O and the Q. Can you say it phonetically so I can write it down?
November 8th, Kilo, Lima, Quebec.
All righty, November 8th, Kilo, Lima, Quebec. I'm at the bottom of the list, but you have the floor. Go ahead.
Since I'm weak, I'm just going to check in for the numbers. Anyhow, his name is Jim. He calls NAKLQ, West Virginia. Back to that, NAKLQ.
All righty, sir. Yes, it says New Martinsville, West Virginia. Thank you very much. Appreciate you riding along with us. With that being said, I'm going to go up to the great state of Nebraska. Mr. Moe, KD0RSA, are you still with us? Over.
KD0RSA, Moe up here in Nebraska. Well, it's a noisy. I got 10 over noise, and I'm having a terrible time of hearing, and so it's hard to understand what's going on. About all I can add to that, I guess, is Senator Ben Sacks of Nebraska, he's right in there with the numbers with Romney. So don't forget that Senator Ben Sacks is a right of law, so that's about all I could add, and
and I'll just be sitting here listening from now on, hearing what I can hear. KD0RSA, back to you, Bob, over.
Alrighty, Mo, I hope the band improves so that you can hear better. KD0RSA, KHOY. Over to Mr. Greg, K1YW, KHOY. Agree to that. K1YW, KHOY. Over to Mr. Bill, K-O-4-F-E-K-H-L-Y. You're up.
Okay, K-A-8-J-O-Y in the Liberty Net, K-O-4-F-E. All right, well, you know, one of the tropes that you hear all the time, anytime crime rates or the differences in crime rates between blacks and whites comes up is, you know, they'll say, well, yeah, a lot of black people maybe commit a lot of crimes, but as we all know, most of the serial killers are white, you know, as if that changes anything. But the fact of the matter is that's a bald-faced lie. And, you know, they'll talk about John Wayne Gacy and what was the other one? Age is a real killer when it comes to memory, but Jeffrey Dahmer, or they'll throw around Charles Manson or something as, you know, well, I mean, certainly they're well known, but when in the list of serial killers, they're not even comparable with some of these black serial killers. And here's an example of one right here. And he's not only somebody who killed many people, but headline, America's most prolific serial killer, Samuel Little, confesses to killing two more Florida women. America's most prolific serial killer has confessed to killing two more women, including one where another man served 22 years before he was exonerated. Now listen to this. Samuel Little, who is now 80 years old, is said to have murdered both Karen McDonough and Dorothy Gibson in Florida in the 1970s. It said, last year the FBI declared Little the most prolific serial killer in the U.S. He's confessed to 93 murders. 93 murders, mostly women, across the country between 1970 and 2005. Now, I'll mention at this point, there was another black gentleman named Coral Eugene Watts, and you can look him up. He was suspected of murdering something like 80 women. So there you go. This guy murdering 93 and Coral Eugene Watts murdering in somewhere in the 80 range, both black. I think they've killed between just the two of them more than John Wayne Gacy, Dahmer, and Charles Manson, and you could probably throw in 10 other white serial killers. These two guys have probably killed more than all of them combined, but yet you'll never hear their names, and you'll still hear this propaganda lie from the left that most serial killers are white. But anyway, continuing with the story, it says, now authorities say they have enough corroborating evidence to link him to the deaths of O'Donoghue and Gibson following his admissions. He will not be charged as he is already serving a life sentence in California. The Miami Herald reports how the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office has said Little officially killed four women in the area. He is suspected of murdering many more. Little was not only willing to confess his crimes, but had a vivid memory of what his victims looked like and sufficient artistic ability to reproduce their faces. O'Donoghue's body has never been found after she was killed in the early 70s. Gibson was found strangled outside a hotel in Miami in 1977. Little is said to have remembered specific details relating to the Gibson case that indicate he was the killer, and he drew a picture of her. Arrest records also place him in Miami at the time. With O'Donoghue, Little again remembered details about his victim. He again drew a picture which closely resembled an image of her that her family circulated when she went missing. States. And then they talk about another black guy, Townsend. He's now 69. He had confessed to Gibson's murder, as well as other killings and rapes. But DNA cleared him of the two murders in 2001. His confession was called into question, and he was released from prison. He now lives with his daughter in Georgia after receiving $2 million in settlements from the city of Miami and Broward County. So anyway, this guy, here you go, this Samuel Little, 93 murders. And then you throw in Coral Eugene Watts for another 80-some more, but somehow these two, probably the top two serial killers in American history, both of them were black, but you'll never hear a word about them in the popular media. They'll still go on to talk about Jeff Dahmer and Gacy as being... typical of the white domination of serial killers, which isn't even true. So anyway, here's another story. University of South Florida celebrates Thanksgiving by claiming campus is built on Native American land. The University of South Florida acknowledged this week that its Tampa Bay campus is located on land that was previously owned by Native American communities. The university's anthropology released a statement intended to coincide with Thanksgiving that claims, quote, as a department, we recognize the historical and continuing impacts of colonization on indigenous communities, their resilience in the face of colonial and state-sponsored violence, fully support indigenous sovereignty. Well, what does that mean? They're sovereign over the university? Well, anyway, I guess, these people talk about, oh, they stole the Indians' land. Well, I run into these liberals that talk about that, and I say, well, you know, there's an easy solution to that. If you think you're living on stolen land, then why don't you just... give everything you have to the nearest Indian tribe and go back to Europe. Of course, they never do that. They won't do it because they just love the virtue signal and make these empty comments, but they never actually... You know, I believe, Bob, and you can confirm this, is if you come into possession of stolen property... and the police find out about it, they simply come and take the property and give it back to the rightful owner. They don't pay you for it, even if you bought it unknowingly. They just take it and give it to the rightful owner. Well, if these liberals think that the University of South Florida or the United States or what have you really belongs to the Indians, they could make it right and just give it back to them. All these liberals should just give up their houses, give up their land, give up their possessions, hand them over to the nearest Indian tribe and go back to Europe. But it's funny, none of them will do it. They just like the virtue signal and whine about it and bash white people. So anyway, back to you, Bob. K-A-8-J-O-Y, Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KHOI. What was the gentleman's name, I shouldn't use the word gentleman, that committed the 93 murders?
Samuel Little.
All right, I wanted to write that down for some memory notes. And oddly enough, good old Jeffrey Dahmer, he went to the high school in the town that I live in, over.
Oh, geez. I don't know if I'd go around bragging about that, Bob.
His parents lived in the town south of me, but we have a common high school and school system. And when his house went up for sale, it was a fiasco because people wouldn't buy his parents' house because of the body parts. So that was kind of strange. But thank you for that information, KO4FE, KHOI. Let me see. Next is Mr. Richie, KB2DMD, KAHAOY.
All right, Bob, KAHAOY, and the group.
This is KB2DMD. Wonderful signals. Everybody's pounding in, hearing Greg real well now. Hello, Greg. Hope you're hearing me all right. And, a good night still. A good book. Probably the best American history book. It could certainly be used as a textbook in schools. Is Pat Buchanan's A Republic, Not an Empire. I gotta crack that one again. I have not had that off the shelf in a while. But I do remember a lot of stuff about, the early expansion of America, Louisiana Purchase, the whole Indian thing. Bill makes a good point. Pat describes it as manifest destiny, which it was, which is essentially you take what you can while you can get it. And, white people mean to Indians, Trail of Tears. Oh, well, yeah, but you know what? Indians were mean to settlers, and everybody was mean to everybody at one point or another. But you know what justifies it in the end, Bob? Look at what came out of it. America is a country that everybody on Earth strove to get to. And why? Because it offered them the best chance at living the best life they could for them and their posterity. So, by that yardstick, everything that happened up until that time is more or less justified. At least with regard to expanding the nation, growing the country, Bill's absolutely right, with the virtue signaling. These people, well, first of all, because of the big voice that they get from the leftist media, it's made to seem like they represent already. Nothing could be further from the truth. Look around you. People don't feel like that. People don't ascribe to drag queen story time and the country would have been better off with a bunch of red men running around in loincloths if only we left them alone. It's ridiculous. But they're very shrill souls, Bob. They really, they just, they're malcontents. These people would find something to bitch and moan about no matter what. Nothing will ever be good enough for them. Why are they malcontents? Because they really haven't been able to do anything with their life. Aside from, get a $200,000 education that they could have got at the local library for the guy saying goodwill hunting for $4 in late fees. These professors have drilled it in their heads that they're evil and dirty and bad because they're white and because there's some alleged white privilege and on and on. It's all a bunch of malarkey. But because it was taught to them under the banner of some kind of alleged authority, that gives it, credence. It's all smoke. It's just all smoke, man. And, people need to turn off their TVs. And, last Liberty Net or one before when Jesse was making a transmission, this guy comes on and says, "Doesn't anybody out here have an education?" And I know who he was. The guy's a psychologist, and he's one of these people that got, an education at a leftist university. And, I don't even want to go into who he is or cast aspersions about his character. There really isn't any character there to begin with. But it's that kind of mindset. And you know what, Bob? I just move on. When I run up against those people anymore, I've given up trying to even have a conversation, let alone an argument with them. Because it's pearls before swine. I just move on and find like-minded people that, that feel the same way about this nation that I do. It really gets wearisome to listen to these people. As I said before, the alleged news, which is now, by by leaps and bounds all about the money. You know, even Fox News gives voice to a very, very tiny minority. And if you watch enough TV, you would think that, wow, you know, maybe there's something to this. Maybe this is the way I'm supposed to be. That old experiment, we've all heard about it, where you put, you know, 10 people together in a room, and you get 9 of them in on the plot, where, you know, the teacher puts up a picture of a big red circle, and everybody says that it's blue. And, you know, after a while, you know, the one guy that's not in on it starts to say it's blue as well, because he doesn't want to feel like he's left out. So this is all mind control. It's all nonsense. It's all trying to make us, in lockstep with, values and theories that ordinarily we would never accept. And, if you feel yourself leaning that way, the best thing to do is just turn this garbage off. Don't listen to it. Find some alternative media. Get some real news in your life. And stop listening to these, these agenda-driven talking heads. It's amazing. When I was at the local garage the other day hanging around. Some of the guys, it's a backwoods garage. You know, these guys are all, good Americans, but, you can hear it from some of the people hanging around in there where, looks like Trump lost, he's going to have to throw in the towel. And I know where it's coming from. It's coming from the TV news. They need to turn this stuff off, because before long they're going to start telling you, I didn't really want the kids to go to drag queen story time, but, they said I'd be prosecuted for a hate crime if I didn't let my kids go. So, that's where it's going. And the best thing to do is just un-ask CAO, so to speak, man. You know, pull away from that stuff. It's not mainstream. It's a radical fringe element with really perverse, demonic opinions, and they just need to be shunned, Bob. KAHJOY and the Liberty Net. This is KB2DMD.
Well, I agree on them being shunned, and I'm the 10th kid in the room, and I'm going to say that circle's red, damn it, no matter what. So, KB2DMD, KHOY. And I goofed up and stepped out of turn because my chicken scratched. I got to run up to Richard, another Richard, WDHAYC in Ohio. I need to hand the podium to you, sir. Over.
Okay, Bob, WD8AYC. And I hope I am getting out a little bit better now that it's later. Anyway, the only thing I got is I want to ask a question. And after they said about April morning movie, they were talking about a doctor. And I'd like to have his doctor, you know, what his name was, for one thing. Can you do that?
Let's see. The April morning, that was you, Richie, that brought that up, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. What are we talking about? Doctor what?
I'm not sure. The other Richard in Ohio, what doctor are you talking about?
I don't know. That's, I missed it. I missed, I can't remember much, but I just wrote down doctor because I didn't catch his, but he was supposed to be really, really smart, and that's all I remember about it. But, and the other thing, they talked about big league politics. Does that sound right? Big league politics?
Yeah, I think you got two CUSOs running together, Richard. I didn't mention any of those topics. Now, did you remember me mentioning anything about a doctor? No, and Heidi's good like that. She would remember. So that must have been another transmission, Bob.
Richard in Ohio, I mentioned about Benjamin Franklin, and he apparently was a doctor or had a doctorate, and they said the word doctor about the Republic, and he said about keeping it. That's the only time that doctor came out in our CUSOs, over.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was that said that. I mean, but I just thought if you knew it, it's no big deal. I'm just trying to write down things I could look up that were interesting. But anyway, but that's all I really have. I really don't have a lot to add. But I know that somebody was just talking about
about television, and that's what I was trying to say the last time. That's really, I have a big feeling about that, and I hate it because I watched TV when I was a kid all the time and everything, and now it's that our television has been taken over by communists, or worse. I don't know what you can call them. They're liars, and you know, that's why I said if we could, I said Republicans. What I meant was if we could have had decent people that weren't liars, that were, you know, truthful and had the decent, just decent people. If we'd have had them in the federal communications, and taken charge of that, we wouldn't have any of these problems. Because I know, like, back when I was a kid, if they would have done the stuff they're doing now, they would have took their license to broadcast away. And, I think these people have got to, and I've heard that the people that own, you know, somebody owns these companies, you know, that people watch TV, and the people that, I can't remember the names, but, you know, I bet you guys all know the names. George Soros, this guy, that guy, the guy, Salter or something like that. But those guys, the money that I believe the money that's bought those stations came from other countries and globalists and communists and stuff. But I don't know why. I kept the whole 4 years, I kept saying to myself, why doesn't the president say something about these people and the TV? Because that's why you're exactly right, the guy that was saying it. That's why we're having all this trouble. Because we let them just go and say whatever they want to say on the television. It used to be you couldn't lie, and you couldn't just get in bed with one political thing. That's one thing. We just stood there and let them take us, and let them put us in the dump. But anyway, I am really upset about that. So go ahead and let the other guy go. That's all I got. And I've got a lot of stuff written down. Gun owners, I think it was Gun Owners of America. And then at April morning, I wrote that down. And I think that big league politics is right. But anyway, I'm going to let you go. And I'm just glad I made it this week. And I hope to see you on Wednesday. WD8AYC.
All righty. Well, thank you for being here, of course. And I'm going to look up that April morning. There's a gentleman who doesn't transmit. His name is Paul, and he records these Liberty Nets, and he sent me a link. So apparently that April morning is online. You can go get it, like Richie said. So that is a real plus. And, yeah, look at how they lie during the advertisements for the different people that are seeking election. I mean, constant lies. We want to constantly say things about President Trump, because he said something in a trailer about touching a woman's vagina, but we never, never, never brought up about him fingering Tara Reid as a senator. Again, it's just amazing. We just have to kind of be vigilant. So how about Mr. Williams in Joplin, Missouri? Kilo, Echo, Zero, Victor, Romeo, Tango. It is up to you, sir.
Thank you, Bob. This is KE0VRG out of Joplin, Missouri. And the next technological I'm going to be reading is, can we skip ahead to the part where we say we told you so? And it is also from the American Thinker. The AmericanThinker.com is the name of the website you can go to. And this past summer, the people of Minneapolis simultaneously saw its government implode and riots explode. All this violence and destruction was predictable. It was also predictable that the defund the police movement would end in disaster for every city that tried it. The Minneapolis City Council, which also led on the absurd idea by endorsing legislation not to just defund but to abolish their police department and replace it with a pre-10 police agency. This predictability led to an increase in crime, especially violent crime. Not long after voting to defund the police, Minneapolis City Council members began hearing complaints from the constituents about rising crime in their districts. Car racing, property damage, assaults, and home invasion robberies. Who would have guessed that would happen? As for the social workers and the violence interrupters that were supposed to solve everything, a poor social worker was recently murdered while on duty in Seattle. Now, the Minneapolis City Council wants to spend more than $500,000 to hire police officers from surrounding agencies to augment their cops. The council intends for those officers to help reduce crime in the city. What about their own officers, you might ask? Well, they're headed towards other agencies or other careers. They know they're not welcome there. Will the city even be able to attract area officers willing to work off duty for a city council and mayor who hate cops? City officials have demonstrated they are anti-law enforcement. The mayor, by forbidding life-saving police training for officers, and the city council by voting to abolish the police department altogether. What will happen if one of those borrowed police officers, especially a white officer, is forced to shoot a suspect, especially a black suspect? Well, we all know what that's going to do. Anyone thinks those Minneapolis politicians are going to back that officer? If history is any guide, they will not only toss the officer under the bus, they will then hop aboard the bus and run over the cops themselves. Out in Oregon, pro-heroin, anti-Thanksgiving Governor Kate Brown, after subjecting Portland to months of unending riots, tried something similar to augment her police. After allowing and encouraging the violence to continue unabated in Portland, Brown attempted to get help. She called for mutual aid from surrounding police and sheriff's agencies. And I wonder if she used that same agencies to try to stop Thanksgiving, you know. Anyway, so what happened? Those Oregon police chiefs and sheriffs refused to allow their officers and deputies to aid Portland police. It wasn't because those cops didn't want to assist their fellow officers. It was because the chiefs and sheriffs felt they could not, in good conscience, put their officers in jeopardy. This is no normal off-duty job for an officer. Not with that barely there, the mayor and hypocritical city council in charge of things. So this time, can we just skip ahead to the part where we say, you were right, and we say, well, we told you so. That is all I have. This is KE0VRT, Joplin, Missouri. Back to you, Bob.
Well, that's an interesting article. And I have to say, yesterday, one of the ABC News made a mention that it's been 6 months. It's a six-month anniversary since the death of George Floyd. But nowhere did they say it was the six-month anniversary of the black detective sergeant that was with the Minneapolis police that was killed. We're just going to make it an anniversary for the criminal. So just to go along with what you were saying, we are definitely on the wrong track. Mr. Larry, I'm looking for your two clicks. N4ROQKAHJOY.
Okay, you got it. This is regarding, man, I love this newspaper, Bob, and you had an article out of it too, the Epic. Is spelled like Epoch, E-P-O-C-H, but I think you said it's pronounced Epic Times. I think it's out of Texas. It's a great newspaper, and they have it online. I may even take it, too. They've been sending it to me some. Every now and then they'll send me a copy. But I found a good article here. It says, 20 Reasons Election 2020 is Far From Over. It's by Michael Walsh, W-A-L-S-H. He said, now that the media has declared Joe Biden the next president of the United States, let's take a look at the state of play. Donald Trump is legally the president until his term expires at noon on January the 20th, 2021. Nothing that happened last week or will happen until January the 20th will affect his position or authority in any way.
Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. is neither the president nor the president-elect. There is no such thing as the office of the president-elect. Barack Obama invented this phantom unconstitutional position back in 2008. It didn't matter then, and it doesn't matter now, except in the minds of the media. Biden will not be president-elect until the Electoral College meets on December the 14th, if then. However, and then the next one, number five, is December the 8th, is a so-called Safe Harbor Day, by which the states, under federal law, must resolve any and all controversies regarding a disputed election. And their governors must so certify in order for the names of the actual electors to be reported to the National Archivist. Number six, neither state governors nor courts, including their high courts, have any authority over how federal elections are conducted in their states. If the election results are still in doubt by December the 8th, as they might well be, the Trump campaign could ask the state legislatures in the disputed battleground to set aside the tainted tallies and use the plenary powers under Article 1, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution to appoint and certify slates of electors favorable to the GOP. Number 8, Republicans now fully control 24 states in which they have both houses of the legislature and the state house, including the battleground states of Arizona and Florida. Meanwhile, in Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Wisconsin, they control the legislatures, but the governors are Democrats. All six of those states could send Trump slates to the feds by December the 8th if they wish. Whether their Democratic governors would certify the slates is, of course, another matter. By contrast, the Democrats control only one current battleground state in which the vote is in dispute, Nevada, with a majority in the legislature and a Democrat as governor. Should the election, number nine, should the election be thrown into the House of Representatives, as it was in 1800 and 1824, each state delegation would get one vote for president, and Trump would win 31-18. For those scoring at home, that would mean 185,957 Americans voted via their congressional delegations would outvote 133,888,565 people living in Democrat states. Number 10, at the moment, the key state is also the keystone state. These 20 electoral votes would put Biden over the top, along with Arizona, should they withstand legal challenges. Highly partisan Democrat control of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and the governor's mansion, however, thus far, ensure the state will remain contentious to the end. Reverse those votes, however, and then the quest for the White House all comes down to Georgia. There can be no doubt that in several states the results have been highly questionable, including Michigan and Wisconsin, in which the mysterious tranches of votes, in some cases 100% for Biden, arrived in the dead of the night during the lull in the counting, allowing the Democrats to figure out how many votes they needed for the former Veep to pull ahead. Number 12. Elsewhere, electronic glitches have been reported, switching Trump votes to Biden, although rarely, if ever, the other way around. But this is par for the course regarding important elections in which the Democrats somehow pull off amazing statistical improbabilities, impossibilities, and nip the Republican candidates at the wire every time. Only once in recent history has it been stopped, in Florida in 2000, and there they fumbled by asking for recounts in only three heavily Democrat counties. We can thank the weaponization of the CCP virus in the guise of the overwhelmingly
non-lethal COVID-19 disease for much of the chaos. The Democrats have been pushing the boundaries of what constitutes a fair and free election, bulldozing constitutional and social norms in order to remove as many protections against apparent fraud as they possibly could, in all the name of fairness. The virus gave them the excuse. Bumbling Biden made the following unconstitutional statement. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. Biden said that he has a fraud organization. Imagine the howling on the left that Trump had said something like that, and yet fraud and the Democratic Party have gone hand in hand, at least since Khomeini Hill, the 19th century. Indeed, it has become the punchline of jokes everywhere, everybody knows, including Democrats, except they're proud of it. Some conservative commentators, among them lawyers, have tried to make the point that yes, that's fraud, but it really doesn't matter unless it materially affects the outcome of the election. These are the same lawyers, by the way, who employ the doctrine of falsus in urendo, falsus in omnibus, false in one detail, false in all, to discredit eyewitness testimony in big trials. Number 16, but fraud is fraud, therefore its presence should rightfully invalidate the entire election, at least within each state where it occurred. It ought not to matter whether it involves outright ballot theft, forged ballots, illegal alien ballots, fake early voting ballots, or obviously manufactured ballots delivered days after the nominal end of the election day. There was a time, perhaps, when a Richard Nixon, who knew he'd been cheated in Illinois by Chicago's Mayor Richard Daley out of the 1960 election, could put country before party and refuse to challenge JFK's hairbreadth victory. But those days are long gone. The stakes are simply too high. 18. Everybody back then knew that Nixon and Kennedy differed in policy, not in love of country. Today's critical theory Democrats don't love the country as founded. They love it for a kind of socialist utopia into which they like to fundamentally transform it. Don't be fooled by their expression of patriotism. So this is a really good article about all this. And there's a couple more. I won't keep it very long here. It's time to rein in the media. Nobody, if even they themselves, views as impartial reporters and fact finders anymore. Overwhelmingly leftist in outlook today, reporters prefer to think of themselves as social justice warriors, effecting change by any means necessary. But members of the media should undergo the same scrutiny they apply to their political enemies and be held liable under the same laws the rest of the population must abide by. And number 20, it's also long past due to strip the social media companies and internet giants of the federal protection, specifically Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act, that shelters them from liability actions on the grounds that they are platforms, not publishers. But as 2020 has shown, they were and are active participants on the leftist side, planning and shading the news, and even in the case of the Hunter Biden laptop bombshell, suppressing it altogether. In some, we must appear to be uncharted waters, but as the election of 1800, 1824, 1876, and 2000 have shown, we generally have a way to muddle through. Let the constitutional process play out, and let's see who takes the oath of office come January. So these people have got a great newspaper called the Epoch Times. It's spelled E-P-O-C-H. It's a great newspaper. If you guys can Google that too, probably you might enjoy looking through their They must write a newspaper every day, but I've just happened to run upon a couple of them here in Tennessee.
So back to you there, Bob. A great paper, isn't it, from Larry in Tennessee and from ROQ.
Yeah, I agree with you, Larry. And for ROQ, KHOI, I subscribe to it. I think they're charging me $16 a month, and I receive it four times. I think it's every Friday or Saturday I see in the mailbox. So I enjoy reading it. Mr. Jesse, we're reading your COAS, Kilo Golf 4, Zulu, X-ray Charlie. It is up to you, sir, KHOI.
Okay, Mr. Bob, this is Kilo Golf 4. Can you implement the regular government and the 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 government and
we'll also remove barcodes from the stop system.
Jesse, check your connections. You've either got RF in your microphone or you pulled the rope too tight. The whole transmission was just really poor.
Roger, roger.
Yeah, it was poor that time. I'll come back to you at the bottom of the list when we do the 73 round. Bottom of my list is November 8th, Kilo, Lincoln, Quebec, N8KLQ. Mr. James, are you still with us? I'm going to take that as a no, so I'm going to jump up to Mr. Moe out there in Nebraska. I know he struggled to hear some people, but Mr. Moe, KD0RSA. Do you have anything to add, sir? I think he must have also checked out. So it's over to Greg, K1YW, KHAY on the 73 round.
Something like that. And then I was reading someone else had It might have a rivet on it too, or Steve's kind of pokey. But anyway, there's something out there, and no one knows whether it's a harness or built this thing and planted it in the ground. But I guess it's kind of a stir, and people are fascinated over it. So anyway, there was a quote on Twitter that someone was saying that was kind of amusing. Quote, finally someone gets it on Twitter using like Jackson of Calgary, Alberta. This is the 2020 reset they've been waiting for, exclamation mark. Where's the mothership, question mark. So, yeah, I think right now people could use some alien mothership to come down and put things right, maybe. But, I'll send it back to you, Bob. Have a good night. Thanks for running the net, and
it was jettisoned by a Keyhole 16 spy satellite.
It's gone.
Oh, I didn't catch that. What did you say?
It was space junk that was jettisoned by a Keyhole 16 spy satellite.
Well, it could be. It's like standing in this
Yeah, that was a part that the satellite didn't need anymore, so they just dropped it on our heads.
It's gone. All right, well, good one. Who knows what that belongs to? And yeah, the mothership, we might need the mothership. Before I jump down to William, I'm going to see if Jesse fixed his transmission just so we know that he's got a talking transmitter. So, Jesse, KG4ZXD, this is just a radio check to you, over.
Yes, you put an old towel with the air intake of the amplifier.
Nothing heard for Jesse, so I'm going to go to William. We'll try Jesse. He's probably there diligently fixing his wiring. KO4FE, KAHAY, for the 73 round of the Liberty Net, what say you?
Okay, KAHAY, Liberty Net, KO4FE. Yeah, I don't know what was happening there with Jesse. I couldn't understand. The signal was okay, but the intelligibility was practically zero. Well, anyway, I hope he gets it fixed. Well, this is this story comes under Hollywood hypocrisy, as if we don't hear enough about that. But here we go. Celebrities, elite media members attack actor Ricky Schroeder for helping bail out Kyle Rittenhouse. They're calling it, and wait for it, true showcase in racism. Now, I don't know what this has to do with racism. I mean, Kyle Rittenhouse is white. All the people that he shot in self-defense are white. All the actors are Ricky Schroeder's white. I don't know what. I guess they just got to scream racism no matter what's going on. But anyway, left-wing figures from celebrities to establishment media members attacked actor Ricky Schroeder after it was revealed that he was among the many who helped post the $2 million bail to release Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old accused of fatally shooting two people in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Kenosha County Sheriff Sergeant David Wright affirmed Rittenhouse's release in a Friday statement. He said Kyle Rittenhouse's bond was posted this afternoon at about 2 p.m., which was set up through his attorney, Wright said. He is no longer in custody at the Kenosha County Jail. So anyway, it says MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, a vocal ally of President Donald Trump, has also been identified as a donor to the cause. Their involvement drew ire from progressive figures who expressed their shock and criticism on social media. Now, keep in mind, these are the same Hollywood actors that contributed hundreds of millions of dollars for attorneys and bail to get these rioters and these looters and these attackers, and even I think they even helped post bail for some of the people arrested for murder during the BLM riots, and now they're mad because a couple actors and a few other people contributed money to bail out Kyle Rittenhouse. Well, anyway, here's some of their comments. It says, thanks to everyone who let a murdering child out to do it again, Hocus Pocus actress Bette Midler remarked. This boy killed two and gravely injured another. Why are you celebrating him? Anyone who owns MyPillow should toss it out immediately to the nearest landfill. And Ricky Schroeder, who knew he could be so malevolent? Scott Baio, I guess he also contributed, and now Ricky Schroeder. As a kid, I clearly made bad choices for celebrity crushes, said Al Jazeera contributor Rochelle Carey. CNN political analyst April Ryan did not mince words either, referring to their assistance as a true showcase in pure racism. I don't even get that. Let me see, goes out here, there was Jemele Hill, I think she's with CNN. She's like all upset. Several other, some of these people, I can't figure out their names based on their, somebody else said, let's see, what else, something about racist. It says someone's doing something right and someone else donated bail money to a racist piece of SHIT murder. I don't know who that person in quotes is. It says Rittenhouse's attorney John Pierce detailed the incident in an August 30th appearance on Breitbart News Sunday. He said, of course, Kenosha was burning and he took a rifle so that he could protect himself if he needed to, and to protect property and to protect others. This is 100% self-defense. It's not even close. Kyle was actually attempting to put out a dumpster fire that the rioters had set. The rioters became enraged by that. Kyle actually attempted to retreat. He was chased down by attackers who were repeatedly stating that he should be killed. They came at him lightning fast and attempted to begin striking him and wrestled with his rifle with the intent to kill. He had no choice but to fire his weapon to protect himself. So anyway, Rittenhouse is due back in court on December 3rd. So Hollywood's all upset. They don't like anybody giving money to a conservative. Meanwhile, they contributed hundreds of millions of dollars to bail out goons, rioters, convicted felons, child molesters, and all the other riffraff that's associated with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Here's another one. This is kind of a disgusting story. Berlin mother forgives African migrant who bit off part of her face. You know, I understand the Christian concept of forgiveness, but, you know, this just goes too far. A Berlin woman said she forgives a Malian migrant currently on trial for biting off part of her mouth and nose over the summer in a city park, and she says she wants him to go free. Well, lady, it's not all about you, because if this guy goes free, he might attack somebody else and do the same thing to them. Malian migrant Sankun K was put on trial on Friday for the attack, which took place in July in Berlin's Görlitzer Park, and saw the 24-year-old attack his 42-year-old victim by biting off part of her nose and mouth, leaving permanent damage. Victim Albina R., meanwhile, has said she not only forgives the migrant for the attack, but added that she wants him to be set free. She said, "It happened. I was bitten. I was sewed up. I forgive him and wish him a good life," she told a German court. Tabloid BZ reports. Let's see. The 42-year-old claimed she had met the migrant by a riverbank and engaged in conversation, saying, "We were in the water together. I had swallowed a pink ecstasy pill. I said to him in the river, 'You are John the Baptist for me.' Then I cleaned leaves in the garden. He followed me, and he took me and bit me." The woman sounds like a nutcase. She added she had permanent scars as a result of the attack, and the judge stated that photos taken after the attack showed pieces of the woman's cheek missing and her teeth visible. The 42-year-old told the judge she thought the migrant was clairvoyant, and when asked if the migrant had a sexual interest in her, she said, "I think so. I thought that after John..." Wait a minute. She said, "I thought that after baptism Jesus spoke to me, I had taken the pink pill." Oh, God. Sounds like some kind of a drug addict lunatic. But anyway, she said the verdict in the case is expected by the 27th of November, but the tabloid notes that the migrant may be placed in a psychiatric facility instead of a prison. They ought to put this woman in a psychiatric facility. The case is just the latest assault on a woman by a migrant in Germany and comes just months after a Tunisian migrant was arrested after randomly attacking two people in the city of Augsburg while armed with a machete and an axe. In September, a Pakistani migrant in the city of Cottbus admitted to stabbing a German teen on a local bus at random, claiming he did so in order to avoid deportation. Last year, a federal criminal police office report revealed that native Germans were far more likely to be victims of migrant criminals than vice versa. Well, I didn't need a federal criminal police office report to know that. Anybody with half a brain would have known what was going to happen when they let these people into Germany. So anyway, Bob, 73s to everyone that checked in. Thanks for running the net, and hopefully we'll catch you Wednesday. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you joining us. And WTAM 1100 DJ says, "I'm living in a world I truly don't understand," and that is just a statement that sums it up, right?
Roger that.
Amazing. All righty, let me go to the first Richard. WD8AYC in the great state of Ohio. This is the 73 round. What are your last thoughts? Over.
Okay, Bob, WD8AYC. Well, my last thoughts are I'm just glad that I found, I come across the net, it was a month or two ago, and because now, you know, I watch some of these videos and stuff, and my God, some of the stuff the people say and everything, I feel like I'm losing my, my place to live. I mean, you know, who wants to live in a place like with some of these people? So I just like to have a place to go where, you know, I have people of the same thoughts I have. But anyway, that's all. I don't have really you know what? I've watched the advertisements for the what was it? The newspaper, the Optic. Now I can't think of what the name, but anyway. And I kept thinking, boy, you should subscribe to this because you know you can. You know, I say just put the just click on the thing below the line, and you get this for $1, and then try it out.
And I said, I should do that. I think I'm going to do that. When I forget who that was that said that he gets it. So it's a great, I mean, it's a great newspaper. And I think it's great people that have it. And anyway, that's all. And I'll just hope to see you on Wednesday. WD8AYC.
All righty, WD8AYC. Well, Larry said he reads it, and I get the subscription. It's Epic, E-P-O-C-H Times. I get it once every week, and I enjoy reading the magazine. It's like a newspaper, so I get the printed version. I think you can get a digital version that's cheaper, but yeah, I recommend it. It seems to have some not-so-biased news, as we would say. Mr. Ritchie, in the great state of Pennsylvania, KB2DMD, your final thoughts, KHAY.
Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Bob. KAHAOY and the group. This is KB2DMD. Well, very good. Really good comments from Bill tonight. Yes, Kyle Rittenhouse should have been given a medal. He should have been given the Presidential Medal of Freedom or whatever that is, you know, the highest award that can be bestowed. And I can remember in my lifetime, Bob, in America where he would have received such an award. And in a previous America where he probably would have received a ticker tape parade down Fifth Avenue. But unfortunately, that America it doesn't exist anymore. You know, I wish the Patriots had one-tenth the balls that the SDS and the Weather Underground had during the 60s, Bob. You know, their people, they broke Joanne Chesimard out of prison and got her to Cuba, where she could enjoy the workers' paradise that she campaigned so hard for. But you know what I mean? Where is the militia? Where is we, the jury, to speak up for this kid? What a magnificent hero. And screw what Bette Midler thinks. Why does anybody listen to what some, you know, demented, demonic Hollywood airhead would have to say about anything? Well, first of all, Bob, you know, the people in Hollywood, they lie for a living. This is what they do. They pretend to be something that they're not, don't they? That's what they do. Sometimes it's entertaining, but I mean, it's, you know, or it used to be anyway, you know, maybe during the late 40s, early 50s, but, you know, still in all, they're apart from us. They're apart from the regular, you know, working stiff. They're apart from the people that actually make and build the United States. They're flotsam. Their opinion isn't even valid for anything because they're just they're court jesters, basically. You know, everyone in the entertainment industry is essentially a court jester. So who cares what they have to say about anything? But I heard your comment about this DJ. I am living in a world that I understand, Bob. It's socialism. It's socialism on the move, to be sure. It's socialism trying to take over. You know, like Orwell said, Big Brother isn't fascism. Big Brother isn't communism. Big Brother is socialism as far as the eye can see. Imagine, if you will, a boot on the face of humanity forever. And that's where we're heading if the Patriot community, the alleged Patriot community, doesn't get off its duff. And I'm not suggesting any call to action or violence, but at least start speaking out. I've talked to guys around here that told me they were afraid to put a Donald Trump sign on their property because some Antifa might throw rocks at their head. I mean, my God, what cowardice, Bob. You know, if you can't put a political sign out, how can you be counted on to do anything more? Or anything less, for that matter. So I don't know why the conservatives, the alleged conservatives, the alleged patriots in this country have turned into such weenies. I've heard, you know, a alleged patriots say, you know, we need a law against this, we need a law against that. Now, my God, we've got enough laws. The laws just empower the state. You know, the only laws we need are God's law. We need the Ten Commandments, and we need the Constitution, and maybe two or three other laws, and those two or three other laws are questionable. So, I mean, people really need to reassess their priorities. And, Jesse, so sorry to hear that you're having RF in the shock there, but I know you'll beat it. So hopefully next time we'll hear what you had to say, because always good comments from you, Jesse. And good to hear you, Greg, on that last transmission. Really outstanding signal. So I know the band was just a little bit long in the beginning and you were skipping over. Anyway, Bob, that's all I've got. It's been fun. 7-3 and all the best to everybody. K-A-8-J-O-Y and the Liberty Net. This is KB2-DMD.
All righty, Richie. Thank you. KB2-DMD, K-H-O-Y. You're right. The Patriots are kind of spineless. I drove around with a 3x5 flag hanging off of a device that went into my Reese receiver, so it was flagging on the back of my piece of crap Honda Pilot. And even my spouse was like, aren't you concerned someone will attack you? I said, well, I have a weapon, so I'm not really concerned about it. But I got to tell you, I pulled up next to a guy with a Biden sticker, and he happened to have his windows down, and I was a little bit ahead of him, so the flag could be seen, and I said, hey, it's a nice sticker. You went all out, didn't you? And, of course, the FUs and, you know, your mother this. And so it was kind of fun doing that, Richie. I enjoyed it. So let me go over to William in Joplin, Missouri. K-E-0-V-R-T, K-A-J-O-Y.
K-A-J-O-Y, this is K-E-0-V-R-T. Next article I'm going to read here on this final one is about American Stasi, and it's also on the AmericanThinker.com website. At the close of World War II in 1945, the nation of Germany was partitioned into two distinct nations, the Republic of Germany in the West, and the misleadingly named German Democratic Republic, or the Communist East Germany. Further, the then former capital of Germany, Berlin, was divided into four sectors, with the British, French, and American sectors becoming West Berlin, and the Soviet sector becoming East Berlin. Democracy and republics in the western parts of both versus the Eastern European version of communism in the eastern parts. The East German law enforcement apparatus was monstrous, cruel, and brutal, and persuasive. Although there were local law enforcement organizations, the primary responsibility for maintaining law and order throughout East Germany belonged to the Ministry for State Security, or the Stasi, as it was called. It must be made crystal clear here that the Stasi and the governments of East Germany and East Berlin were decidedly not Nazis. A brief description of the Stasi from Wikipedia reads, the Ministry of State Security, or State Security Service, commonly known as Stasi, was the official state security service of the German Democratic Republic of East Germany. One of the Stasi's main tasks was spying on the population, primarily through a vast network of civilians turned informants, and fighting any opposition by overt and covert measures, including hidden psychological destruction of dissidents. It arrested 250,000 people as political prisoners during its existence. So that's kind of an outlook of our future if this stuff is allowed to go on. Anyway, I'll go on. Let's focus for a second on that vast network of citizens turned informants. First, those people could hardly be accurately described as citizens, as they were more like subjects, vassal serfs, and comrades in the communist system set up under the supervision of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. The Stasi had a reputation as seemingly having been anywhere and knowing virtually everything. Nonetheless, there were nowhere near enough actual numbers of the Stasi itself to have been that effective in controlling the population. Rather, as the paragraph above makes clear, the Stasi used people of East Germany against themselves to help them keep dissension suppressed, political opposition crushed, and most dreadfully, the population intimidated. In other words, the Stasi didn't need to be everywhere at all times because they had effectively made the people of East Germany their own enemies. Fear was the most useful and effective tool that the Stasi employed. Any transgression of behavior would be reported to the Stasi, and the alleged transgressor would be confronted, most likely arrested, possibly beaten or tortured, and even imprisoned. As we all know, anyone attempting to leave the utopian society of East Germany or East Berlin for the West were most likely stopped violently or killed outright. Anyway, try to imagine living in a society like that where everything you said or did was subject to oversight, not only by the repressive government, but also by your neighbors, your co-workers, passers-by in the street, or even your family. Such a society is completely alien to our American way of life, or at least it used to be. In the wake of the pandemic currently wreaking havoc on our society and cultural norms, we have our federal government scrambling for the right response in various states and territories doing the same. Right now, here in the United States of America, in the year 2020, we have governors and other elected officials encouraging and even urging the citizenry to spy on itself and report to the state those who transgress the various orders, mandates, edicts, and requirements handed down by them. To call the police if there are too many people in the same place at the same time in the eyes of one person making the dreaded call. To be, in effect, tattletales and snitches for the state, or seasayers. Folks, whatever the rationale behind those orders may be, and whatever reasoning you or they might employ to justify them, actions like that by political office holders smack of state overbearing, of oppression, of intimidation, and of fear, and of tyranny. I choose that word deliberately, and I did not do so lightly. The resemblance to the tactics used by the Stasi, however, clearly camouflaged here and couched in whatever innocent-sounding term they like to use, justified by whatever seemingly compassionate motivations those officials tout, is inherently and incredibly dangerous. Far more dangerous than any germ, virus, or microbe. This American urges you to do what you think and believe is right for yourself, your family, and loved ones. Be responsible and careful, but mind your own business. Leave other people to do what they do, whether or not you think it is in their best interest or yours. Don't become part of the state, no matter how righteously indignant you become. I will never report anyone, anywhere, at any time, for any reason, for what I perceive to be a violation of an executive order. Our law enforcement professionals, friends, neighbors have already had enough to do without such nuisances and annoyances taking up even more of their time and resources. And that is all I have for this week. So 73s to everybody, and I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. And we'll talk at you next week. Back to you, Bob, K-A-J-O-Y. This is KE0VRT, Joplin, Missouri.
Thank you, William. KE0VRT, KHOY. I have to make one comment. The city of Akron, Ohio, they passed a resolution and asked for neighbors to rat on their neighbors if there was greater than 6 people at the house over Thanksgiving. The Akron City Police Union basically told the city of Akron, we're not the snitch police, we have plenty of crime to deal with. I've not heard anything since that comment, but they refused to be part of it. And as far as Jesse, I talked to him on the phone. Something went amiss with the radios. He's going to look at it tomorrow because he doesn't want to smash anything. So with that being said, Mr. Larry, it's totally up to you to be the last comment for the night. N4ROQ, KAHJOY for the Great Liberty Net, 73 rounds.
Okay, I would just say get everything back together. Good to hear some comments there from Joplin, Missouri. That was a great article there. I think it's William, doing a good job there, William. So good to hear you in there. And good to hear everyone, Rich. Good to hear you in there also, and K-A-J-O-Y, and always good to hear Bob. And thanks for entering it, Bob, by the way. And also, this is a good article here I got out of the USA Today regarding the Apollo 11. That was another picture here, but it's got 321 launch app. It gets refreshed, new rocket. 321 launch, this needs to be a new company here.
an augmented reality powered spaceflight app previously featured by Apple now comes with the power of the Apollo era Saturn V rocket. Well, this must be just an app. 321 launch app gets refreshed. New rocket. Let's see, in the latest release of USA Today and Florida Today, built app, smartphone, and tablet users can walk through a educational experience surrounding the historic rocket and its charge to take astronauts to the moon. Pull apart the rocket stages, learn about the famous F1 engines, and follow through through a compressed mission timeline. The refreshed 321 launch, now on version 2.2, also includes updates to its core functionality. Launching Florida-based rocket launches in AVAR as they happen in real time. Users can simultaneously follow the launch in AR, watch a live stream, see telemetry, and read updates from space reporters. Augmented reality works by using a device's camera in tandem with lasers and some new smartphones to render 3D objects into real world settings. All that needed to get started is a flat surface and a decent lighting condition. 321 launches real time coverage supports two of the most common rockets launched from the space coast, SpaceX's Falcon 9, which has also been updated with refreshed textures, and the United Launch Alliance's Atlas V. Free app is available for iOS and Android devices, including tablets, by Apple's App Store and Google's Play Store. Apple highlighted 321 launch in its apps We Love section for several months after its first release in 2018. So if you're into space launches and seeing different launches and using a great app, this sounds like it might be interesting. Moving on from there, I found another article from the Epoch Times. Everybody who was in there, I think it's a great paper, and it's spelled E-P-O-C-H, Times, and it'd be an asset. It's a lot better than anything that I've used before. There's some good writers here, and it's very informative, and it has a lot of stuff that you're not going to see in the regular paper. Fake news is a joke anymore. So this article is about Barr authorizes federal prosecutors to probe substantial allegations of voter irregularities. This is written by the Epoch Times. Attorney General William Barr has authorized federal prosecutors across the country to pursue substantial allegations of voting irregularities, according to a leaked memo. I authorize you to pursue substantial allegations of voting and vote tabulation irregularities prior to the certification of elections in your jurisdictions in certain cases. As I have already done in specific instances, such inquiry and reviews may be conducted if there are clear and apparent credible allegations of irregularities that, if true, could potentially impact the outcome of federal election in an individual state. Read part of the two-page internal memo. The memo was reportedly sent to U.S. Attorneys, Assistant Attorney Generals for the Criminal Division, Civil Rights Division, National Security Division, and the Director of the FBI. Any investigation of claims and irregularities, if true, would clearly not impact the outcome of federal election in an individual state, should normally be deferred until after the election certification. While U.S. attorneys maintain their inherent authority to conduct inquiries and investigations as they deem appropriate, it will likely be prudent to commence any election-related matters as a preliminary inquiry so as to assess whether available evidence warrants further investigative steps. The memo stated that the Department of Justice, DOJ,
personnel should exercise appropriate caution and maintain the department's absolute commitment to fairness, neutrality, and nonpartisanship. You are the most senior leaders in the United States Department of Justice, and I trust you to exercise great care and judgment in addressing allegations of voting and vote tabulation irregularities, Barr wrote. While serious allegations should be handled with great care, specious, speculative, fanciful, or far-fetched claims should not be a basis for initiated federal inquiries. Barr also noted that the memo doesn't suggest that DOJ has concluded that voting irregularities have in the past affected the outcome of any election. And the article goes on quite lengthy, but this Barr is a really smart gentleman, and I wondered if he was going to try to assist in any way or do any kind of a fact-finding with any of these states, any things that's been going on in all this voter irregularity and maybe stealing the election through these swing states. So anyway, we'll see how all this goes. I'm happy to have heard that Attorney General William Barr has sent out a memo to the people that I wrote, to I read there, and that they possibly will be able to look in the direction that they need to take care of any irregularities, and we'll see what happens in the future there. So thank you very much, and we'll shoot it back to you, KA8JLY and the Great Liberty Net. This is Larry in Tennessee, N4ROQ.
Thank you, Larry. N4OQ, KHOY. So we are at the end of the Liberty Net. I'm going to throw it out. Does anybody have a final comment before I close the door? Over. Nothing heard. So as I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night wherever she is, as well as safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are listening. I think that's courtesy Mr. QRP Mike, KE4KNE. And thank you to all of tonight's Liberty Netters, including Mr. Victor, W1WCR, Mr. Marty, N2IRJ, Miss Laura, N2JTTF, because they are absent. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country, bless our president, and please, dear Lord, get this election right. We can't afford to have this go sour. And to Mr. Paul, who's recording the Liberty Net, who I don't hear him transmitting, but thank you, Paul, for what you do. I appreciate it. And there is a link. You can find the link and watch that movie, that April morning. So you can Google it and find the link. So with that being said, this is Kilo Alpha 8, Julie Ocean Yankee. Good night, good night, good night.